It was a very sad night for the world of baseball. I think for sports broadcasting in general last night. Midway through the Dodgers-Giants game on TBS, news broke that Hall of Fame broadcaster, one of the greatest to ever do it, if not the greatest to ever do it, Vin Scully, had passed away at the age of 94 years old. 67 years in the broadcast booth for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I think that his voice and his face is synonymous with the game of baseball, and it's very hard to find a broadcaster that represents an entire sport, but I believe Vin Scully absolutely does that for the sport of baseball. We're going to talk about the legacy of Vin Scully. Joining us right now over the phone, a great friend of mine, Steve Bordstein. And Steve, always a pleasure to get you on.
Certainly not the happiest of circumstances, but an honor to be able to share this time with you to talk about the greatness of Vin Scully.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing to kind of give us comfort. Vin Scully lived an incredible life. Vin Scully lived to be 94 years old. Vin Scully called games with Jackie Robinson in a Dodger uniform. He called games with Clayton Kershaw in a Dodger uniform. I mean, my goodness, when you just take a look at everything the man accomplished and the way he is revered by an entire country, pretty remarkable life. And I think that gives everyone comfort.
And taking that angle, and I'm gonna twist it around a little bit. He called games with Clayton Kershaw in the lineup. He called games with Sandy Koufax in the lineup. He called games with Jackie Robinson in the lineup. He also called sports with Jack Nicklaus on the golf course.
Yep.
He also called games with Joe Montana on the football field. He was a PGA analyst for CBS. He was a play-by-play guy for CBS. One of my earliest recollections of Vin Scully was not during a Dodgers broadcast, ironically enough. It was January of 1982, and for all you San Francisco 49ers fans out there who may not know this, find it on YouTube because it's easily available, is Vin Scully's call of the catch. Joe Montana to Dwight Clark in the back of the end zone that, in my mind, and Jordan, please, you can justify this or not, is as ironic a moment, iconic a moment, if you will, in the NFL as Kirk Gibson's home run in the 88 World Series, the ball going through Buckner's legs in the 86 World Series. It's as iconic a moment and as earth-changing, for lack of a better term, for sports fans. It's the moment that the changing of the guard happened in the National Football League. It went from the Cowboys to the 49ers. It's Montana to Clark in the back of the end zone. Candlestick Park goes nuts. And so when you take into consideration that he called games with Jackie Robinson, he called games with Sandy Koufax, he called games with Clayton Kershaw, he also called arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL's history in Joe Montana, and arguably one of the greatest golfers in the history of men's golf, winning the U.S. Open in Jack Nicklaus. So taking all of that into consideration, that is a man whose life in Vin Scully, who has been absolutely blessed in so many ways.
No question. No question. Here's the thing that Vin Scully did so well, and I can't stress this enough. Vin Scully, he painted pictures for you, right, over the radio. You could see everything so vividly. But Vin Scully became your friend. That's the thing that I wish I knew how to do as a play-by-play announcer. It's something that I've tried to embody for the last 15 years. And it's something that we have gotten away from, it seems like, in today's realm. Vin Scully was your friend. And I think a true testament to that, Steve, is that when the news comes out that Vin Scully has passed away, you have the Dodgers and the Giants, two bitter rivals. I mean, these two fan bases hate each other, but they can agree on one thing. They can agree on Vin Scully. You look at the divisiveness throughout the entire country, if it's religion, if it's politics, whatever it may be, we all can agree on one thing. We love Vin Scully. And I don't know if that's ever replicated. I really don't, especially in today's realm. He was beloved, universally beloved as a sports broadcaster. I don't think we'll ever see it again because he had a way with words. Like, he proved that language still matters. And I don't know that many people can do that.
He also proved, this goes to what you said earlier about, you know, painting a picture. He also proved that silence matters. And that's big, especially now. And you brought it up a moment ago. as it relates to play-by-play broadcasts. Too many of us, myself included, we relish in the moment. We want to scream and shout. We want everyone to be part of the moment. So we yell and we holler and we hoot and holler and all that. Go back to the 88 World Series and Gibson's home run. Forget the actual call of the home run. It's a long fly ball to right field. She is gone. Count the amount of seconds before Scully says his next word.
Yep.
In a year that has seen the improbable, the impossible has happened. Gibson's rounded the bases. He's celebrating with his teammates. You're talking a good minute and a half. In radio world, for you and I, who are in professionals in the radio business, that's like dead air. But it's the crowd. It's the sound of the crazy crowd, the Dodger Stadium in the background. That's the beauty of it. In the 86 World Series, little roller up along first. It gets behind Buckner, and it goes into right field. Carter scores, and the Mets win. All that crowd noise in the background. Because remember, they're at Shea for that. That's at Shea Stadium. Crowd's going insane. And it's the silence. It's the time where he turns off that microphone and you let the crowd tell the story. And that's what the beauty was of Vince Scully, is that he was that storyteller. He let you feel that moment.
Yeah, I think the one thing, I can't say one thing, one of many things that up-and-coming play-by-play or people that have the desire to be a play-by-play broadcaster can take from Vince Scully was, A, his prep work was second to none. I mean, the guy knew everything about everyone that stepped up to the plate. Every pitcher that tilled the rubber. He knew everything. Okay? And the personal appearance of Vin Scully was off the charts. And that matters. Vin Scully was always dressed nice. Vin Scully always had his hair. The appearance was just always top-notch. Everything about the guy was first class.
I remember, and I posted about it this morning on Facebook when I was doing one of the thousands of tributes that have been posted on Facebook about him just being that impressionable of a person. I was an 18-year-old kid, a budding up-and-coming sports writer with a paper in Los Angeles. My father was a columnist for the Orange County Register. And before the Dodgers ever won the World Series in 1988, the big story of the 88 season, especially late in the season, was Oral Hershiser's pursuit of Don Drysdale's record for most consecutive scoreless innings, which he ended up breaking. He broke it in late September. In a start against the San Francisco Giants at Candlestick Park, my father and I get there about 3.5 hours early. Before that game ever starts, about 90 minutes before that game ever has the first pitch, I'm standing outside the press box just watching people enter the stadium, whatever. Here comes this guy. I'd seen him before. I didn't speak to him before, but here comes this guy. And he's dressed to the nines. He's wearing this beautiful blue suit and beautiful pants and everything, and he's just dapper. And he comes up to me and says, "Hi, Steve, it's good to see you and your dad made the trip." And I shook his hand and I said, "Well, thank you, sir." I said, "This is going to be a great game." And at that moment, he proceeds to tell me this long story about how, you know, this is an important game and this is a crucial game for Oral Hershiser's pursuit of his scoreless streak, and that they're starting him on 3 days rest as opposed to his normal 4 days rest because they want to make sure he's ready for the postseason. I'm an 18-year-old kid. He's telling me this like I'm some expert on this. I was a Dodgers fan, and my dad was a sports writer, and I was a sports writer, but I'm an 18-year-old kid. And he's talking to me like I'm one of the regulars. And it's that. It's the appearance, it's the relative importance he placed on everybody. Everyone, he wanted to bring everyone into that moment. He wanted to draw everyone into that game. And it was his personality, and it was his appearance, and it was everything about him that made him such that grandfatherly storyteller figure that we came to know and love.
Steve Bordstein, again, our guest right now. Steve, as we talk about memories of Vin Scully, you and I had this conversation off of the cuff. I think everybody has an idol growing up. At least you should. You know, some people look down upon that. They say you shouldn't have idols. I think it makes life tolerable. I think looking up to someone is a good thing. However, there's a difference in having an idol and then having someone that inspires you to dedicate your life to a craft. And Vin Scully has done that. He did that to me. I know you were inspired by Vin Scully. And that also goes for thousands of sports broadcasters across America. Boy, that is an accomplishment like no other, right? Because the late, great Kobe Bryant has the quote about being, the most important thing is to inspire others to be great at whatever it is that they want to do. Vin Scully did that. And that's a life that is full.
That's so true. And, you know, my father and I didn't get along later in his life, but I always say he was my father and he was a brilliant writer. He inspired me to be a writer. He inspired me to get into sports journalism. My father wasn't a great radio guy. You know, he was a writer. I was fortunate enough to, I guess, be good at both, you know, which was ironic because I had a great career in radio for nearly 20 years here in New Mexico. And I still miss radio to this day. The reason I miss radio and the reason I got into radio and the reason I wanted to excel at it was because someday I would hope that someone would come up to me and go, you know, hey, you really inspired me to do this. You got me into this, because that's what Vin Scully meant to so many of us who have ever even faked, you know, just decided one night to put a recording device on and broadcast our own version of a play-by-play game. Because we've all done that when we were kids. We all did that when we were younger.
Right,
because we all had this you know, pie-eyed version in our heads of being Vin Scully one day, and that's a life well lived right there, like you said.
Steve Bordstein, always great to get you on the show. Before I let you go, is there anything else you would like to add as far as the legacy of Vin Scully?
If you haven't seen that 49ers video, and I know a lot of people who may not have. It's available on YouTube. Find it. Find that, and then find the, and then again, to go back to the, you know, the silence is golden thing, find the actual call of Hank Aaron hitting 7-15. Remember, he did that against the Dodgers, so he was calling that game for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Hank Aaron's call of number 7-15 is amazing, because not only is it capturing the moment of breaking the iconic Babe Ruth record, but it's also bringing into light the social significance of it. A black man in the South breaking an iconic sports record. Think about that today, how that would play out. Think about how it played out in the mid-70s, and to hear Vin Scully's call of that. If you have a chance, to your listeners and to anyone whoever wanted to hear some great calls, call up those two moments right there, and you'll really get an essence as to what Vin Scully meant, not just to Dodgers, not just to Dodgers fans, but to sports in general, and I think you get a really good idea.
Steve, always appreciate the time. Thank you again for taking out the time to join us today. I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. Thank you, sir.